Welcome to Cuckoo Bananas. This is Cuckoo Bananas. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined as always by my partner in crime, Kate Ganey.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
You know, I'm all right. I'm all right. It hasn't been a bad day.
Great.
Certainly not been a great day, but it has not been a bad day.
Hey, I love it. This is a safe space, and you know it.
Yeah.
Me and Kate are podcasters. We are not licensed therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, healthcare professionals. This is a podcast for entertainment purposes, and it's for us to talk about our lives. If you have any need that needs to be addressed immediately, call 911. If you have any other needs, please look for help. There's a phone number in the description of every episode that if you need, please use. All right. So the legal part is over. Let me tell you how I think you should live your life.
Now that I've absolved myself of responsibility.
I want you to go out and buy gold. As much gold as you can get. So today's episode is about maybe one of my favorite topics, sleeping and dreaming.
Yeah.
Sleep, perchance to dream.
Yeah, go ahead, keep going.
I don't know the rest of the quote. That's the end of my Shakespeare.
Well, beautiful. Well done.
So, Kate, do you like to sleep?
Oh boy, do I. So I love to sleep.
What time do you go to bed at night?
So I usually try to get myself asleep by 11:30.
Okay. And what does that look like? Complete lights out? Can there TV be on?
No TV. I used to sleep with TV. I used to not be able to sleep without TV or movie or something going. But now I do. I like my ring sounds. You know, I like some ambient noise or like meditation music when I go to sleep and I need complete darkness. And I usually, I do try to meditate myself to sleep. Essentially, I'll do a body scan, just kind of get in touch with myself and how I'm feeling and
noise,
release that. And, you know, try to drift off.
Let's do a podcast that's just wellness with bros.
Bro,
like, bro, you do a body scan, bro? Nice. Way to check in on yourself.
Nice, bro. I bet your chakras are mad aligned.
Oh, man. Sick.
We're really good at this.
So what time do you get up in the morning?
So I was doing really well with my morning routine for a while. I had an alarm set for every single morning, 5:30 a.m. And I had it set. Yeah. Well, so my kids wake up really early and so does my husband. So I'm usually I kind of wake up when my husband leaves, which is 4:30 sometimes. And I spend a lot of time trying to fight to get back to sleep. And I found that was fucking me up more than anything.
Right.
So I made a commitment to myself, like, all right, you're going to get up at 5:30. And I set an alarm that would play like a morning motivation for me. Good. So even if I didn't feel like I could get out of bed right away, I would just kind of chill and listen to the motivation. I haven't been great with that lately, but I have gotten myself out of bed by 7.
Okay. So you get, if you do wake up at 5:30, that's about 6.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And are you cool with that amount of time? Is that good for you?
I usually take a nap in the afternoon. I'm like a baby.
Oh, I nap whenever I get a chance.
Yeah. And I need my afternoon nappy. I need it.
Okay. Let's normalize naps. Naps. Yeah. Everyone should do naps.
Yeah. For real.
And, okay. See, I go to sleep anywhere between 10 and 12. But the obsessive compulsive disorder in me cannot give up the myth of the 8 hours. Right. I've read that the 8 hour thing is just an average, that everybody's mm-hmm. different. I've heard about it. I just watched on Netflix, they've got a Headspace guide to sleep, and they were talking about it.
Oh.
Some people are good at 9 hours. Some people need six. Some people need, I cannot get the eight out of my head, and I'm always striving for the eight. I don't always get there, but I'm always striving for it.
I understand that.
But I probably, I can't go less than six. I go less than six, I get screwy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to put it. Screwy.
I get a little screwy.
I get a little bit screwy. You don't want me operating heavy machinery less than 6 hours. But sometimes I go to bed early, and I'm a big believer in like second sleep, which was, you know, before the light bulb and electricity and all that, people used to just go to sleep when the sun went down. But often they'd get up in the middle of the night and eat and have sex and do stuff and then go to sleep again.
It's the best.
And I you know, I find that if you fight it, you're going to be miserable.
Yes.
But if you embrace it and go, yeah, I'm just going to be up for a few hours in the middle of the night, and that's okay, and that's not a big deal, and work it into your schedule, work it into your life, maybe have something that you do during that time.
That's like my favorite time. That's my favorite time that I get, is when I get those little pockets where I wake up in the middle of the night.
You're alone in the universe.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I find that as long as I don't look at my phone, I'll be okay. Because if I look at my phone, then the light of my phone and the addiction of the digital world will fuck up when I would fall back asleep.
Right.
But if I like read a little bit, have a snack, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. I usually get up and I get like some cleaning and organizing done, so that when I do like wake up again in the morning to start my day with my kids and everything like that, like everything is nice and in place.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I've also, so I've learned, that there's something to be said about, the 24-hour cycle versus the 28-day cycle, and how those of us who have bodies that operate on a 28-day cycle.
How does that one work?
So our sleep cycles can be affected by our menstrual cycles. And I noticed with tracking my own that there's usually a week or so where my sleep is just off. I can't get enough sleep. Like, you know, I'm just constantly, not that I'm tired, but just that my body wants to sleep all the time. And then, you know, there's also a chunk of time where I'm up all night. And, you know, so I'm noticing these patterns in a 28-day cycle rather than just my day-to-day cycle.
Okay.
And I'm starting with observing that, I'm starting to fight it less. Okay. And just embrace that, like, all right, I'm going to be dead tired for 3 days. These three days, the minute my husband gets home, I'm going to have to take a nap. I'm going to be in bed by 8:30. I'm going to, like, I know that I'm going to be like a rock for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a few days where I'm like manic and I don't sleep at all. And I wonder where in the world the energy is coming from and whatever. And I guess it's hormonal. I don't know if, you know, whatever our body is doing at that point. But, you know, learning about that and observing my own cycle and how my sleep cycle plays into that, is kind of freeing, because I don't try so hard to like, all right, you got to get to bed by this time and make sure you're up by this time. If that doesn't work for a day because my body is feeling extra awake or extra tired, I'm going to go with it.
Right. Right. I think it is a great thing to realize that, like, we are all unique in the way, in our needs for sleep and how we sleep and the way that our sleep is conducted. Mm-hmm. I've heard that the cycle that we try to have in general isn't the best one for us, that, like, you know, we basically do our cycle based on the sun. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily what works best for us sleep wise. Like, I think in 48 hours, we're supposed to, no, I shouldn't say we're supposed to, but some people naturally in 48 hours, like 48 hours is more their cycle. Like they sleep for a third of that and then are up for 2/3 of that. Mm-hmm. Like if you didn't have the sun affecting you. But yeah, either way, I also recently learned something that is a myth that I always believed, which is that you have a sleep debt and you could pay off your sleep debt.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, you can't. Like,
no, you cannot catch up on sleep.
Right. Only within like a very short period. Like if you didn't sleep last night and you a few more hours tonight will make you feel better. Mm-hmm. But you can't like sleep 4 hours a night all week and then be like, I'm going to sleep all day Sunday. The damage is done. Whatever damage has happened to your body and brain, it's done already. In general, are you a night owl?
It's hard to say because I think of myself as more of a morning person. But
always since or just now?
No, see, since having children, I'm less of a morning person. And I kind of cherish the nighttime. Like once my kids are asleep and I have like this little free time.
Right.
My therapist and I have been talking about it because I have a little bit of that. I think it's revenge procrastination. It's called or something like that, where it's like
this is my time.
Yeah, like I won't go to sleep. I want this time for myself.
That was me all through high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I was like that at that age too.
I completely resented that I ever was given a bedtime, and how dare you send me to bed.
Right. I thrive past 11 p.m.
The second that I could stay up all night, I stayed up all night. And that's probably why I was such a poor student in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I would be up like watching movies or whatever to like sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then like get up at 7 for high school and be miserable. It was a nightmare.
A really great solid plan.
I know, and I did it for like 4 years straight.
Yeah. If I can wake up like on my own terms and I'm waking up on my own, I'm very much a morning person. Like I wake up with energy and like I would love to go for a walk in the morning, but since becoming a parent, I generally wake up to someone else's need.
Okay.
I generally wake up because somebody is coming to me that they need something. And that's part of the reason for the alarm too. Right. That was getting me up before my kids because I'm not immediately being met with a need to change a diaper sometimes my daughter's a little older. So she just wants to know where the remote is so she can turn on the TV or whatever. But I'm woken up by a need every morning. Right. And that's bad for my mental state. So that's why, you know, waking up before them makes a huge difference.
Right. Talk about reclaiming time. Like when I was in my like 20s, if I had to like go to work at like noon or go to school at like noon, I would be like, okay, it takes me 20 minutes to drive there.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes me 5 minutes to throw on my jeans and brush my teeth. So I will set my alarm to wake me up 25 to 12.
Yep.
And it will come on and I will race around. And it took me so long to realize that even though I was getting more sleep, it was the absolute worst way to start my day. Cause you start in a blind panic.
You start off rushing. You've set yourself up to rush.
Right. And now, or as I got older, I should say, like starting in like my early 30s, I realized like if I can give myself an hour before I even have to like do anything, it just helps my whole day be more joyful.
It's true. It really is. I think getting your mind right in the morning, however that works for you. Yeah. Whatever it is you got to do. If it's coffee, if it's sitting outside, if it's a cup of tea, whatever it is, if it's exercise, whatever it is you got to do, there's something that's really, it changes your day when you get to start your day on your own terms instead of starting, for somebody else, setting an alarm because I have to be at work at this time or whatever.
That really makes you feel like a slave to your job.
Oh, 100%.
Because you feel like I this isn't my time, and that gets you in a cycle of then you want to stay up late again because you're like, this is my time.
Right. This time I'm allowed to do whatever I want with and nobody can tell me shit.
Right. Yeah, I would say that I was a night owl up until like my early 30s, and then I became more of a morning person. Now I love the morning. Part of it is medicine. The medicine I take has helped me just be a better sleeper in general. But part of it, I'm sure, is age. So do you sleep deeply?
It's hard to say. My sleep is inconsistent. So since starting antidepressants, I dream more vividly, or I remember my dreams more.
Nice.
I guess.
Four-way dreams.
Yeah. So it depends, because sometimes my dreams are really intense. And in that kind of state, I feel like I didn't even sleep at all. And I feel like I'm, you know, not getting deep rest, that, you know, my spirit or my what have you is busy all night and I'm not getting rest. It's going crazy in this dream realm and
right.
doing way too much stuff and I'm not getting rest, because I do have lucid dreams a lot of the time, and I'm consciously in some capacity watching my dreams play out. And that doesn't give me restful sleep. But
right.
There are nights that I hit the pillow like a rock and I'm out.
Yes.
You know, so I sleep in general, I think I sleep relatively soundly, but I do dream very vividly. So if it's a night filled with dreams, I'm not going to be well rested.
Does having kids have an effect on that? Because I've got to feel like knowing that there are people that might genuinely need you,
mm-hmm.
must make it like one part of your brain a little bit more alert.
Yeah, I think
because I know when I was a kid, every time I ever had to wake up my parents, they'd always wake up like like there's a fire.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. That's how it goes. And it's also waking up to a child at the foot of your bed is one of the scariest things in the world.
Because kids are genuinely creepy.
And you assume it's a baby ghost. You don't think it's your own child.
Baby ghost. Oh, no.
It's just the one I gave birth to.
Oh, it's Chuck. Oh, no. It's just my kid in overalls. Oh, God. Why do I mention that?
Why do they sleep in overalls? But, you know, it's a cliche that they say that, like, you know, you never sleep again after you have kids. And it's true on some level. Like, there is a level of deep sleep that I don't think I will ever get again. Because wow. there's this part, there are these two little parts of me that live outside my body.
Wow, yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Like, they're their own people. I'm not saying that they're just extensions of me. But in my heart and, you know, the maternal feelings that I have, that's what it feels like. There's these little things that I care about and that I'm meant to protect and whatever, that are just out in the world, and there's always going to be some of that in my consciousness, and it definitely has affected my sleep. I long for sleep before children.
You know, I find that I have shitty naps than shitty night sleep. Like, I'll have like and I like a long nap. Some people are like 10 minutes and I'm good. I'm like, no.
No.
At least an hour. 2 hours is the best. So, and it has no effect on me that night, by the way. People go, well, doesn't it make you stay up late? Like, not really. I might be a little bit more alert, but I could still go to sleep. So, like, but I've had naps where, like, I lay down and I'm like, oh, I'm not sleeping. I'm not resting. And then I look at the clock and hours passed and I'm like, oh, I guess I was micro sleeping, or
right. I wasn't quite here.
I time traveled, so I must have slept, but I literally feel like I did not turn off at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had that, and that's fucking terrible.
Yeah, that's highly unpleasant.
Yeah.
Every nap is a gamble, because that's either you wake up feeling well rested, or you wake up feeling like the world is 50 times worse than I left it.
I know, there's no in between.
Yeah.
Sometimes a nap is a gamble. And sometimes it's like, ugh, what year is it?
Yep. And you never know. You never know which one you're going to get until you wake up.
And naps, you know, if you nap enough, it becomes your sleep cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sometimes hard. Sometimes if you nap every day and then you don't want to, it's hard. It's hard to get out of it.
Yeah, I got very accustomed to napping with my kids because that was when I was able to get sleep. And trying to recalibrate your sleep schedule is no easy feat. And I still, you know, there are days where I'm like, you got to fight the urge to nap this afternoon. Yeah. You got to make sure you're getting a good night's sleep tonight. Or afternoons where I can't, where my kid doesn't go down for a nap. And so I can't, and you know, whatever. But I definitely have become dependent on naps. There have been stages, you know, as a parent where naps were my only sleep.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like how, like, in our current digital age, like, it's changed the way we think about the 40-hour work week and all these things. Mm. And I think the idea of, like, the night sleep is also something we're kind of like, it is a structure that we act like is, you know, God-given and natural, but it isn't. It's just a construct, and it's something that you can move out of.
And I think, I have read things that say that each person has a different circadian rhythm. And, you know, if maybe trying to fit every person into the same structure doesn't work because not everybody's body works the same way. Maybe I'm most productive at 3 a.m.
Right.
And maybe I can't make, you know, 100 phone calls at 3 a.m., but yeah, I could create at 3 a.m.
Right. Exactly. All right. Let's move into dreaming. Now, look, I don't know the science of it, and there's a lot of science of it that's always changing, and there's a lot of things we don't know about dreams, and you're pretty woo-woo, so I bet you have you've got different ideas about dreams than I do. So I want to ask you, do you dream a lot? Now, I know probably every person dreams all the time, and it's a matter of whether you remember it or not, but I will pose it to you, do you dream a lot?
Yes, and I have a lot of recurring ones. I visit the same places in my dreams a lot.
Okay. See, I don't remember. I dream. I certainly have dreams, but like maybe I'll have one a night that I recall or I feel like I've experienced consciously. I used to have lucid dreams when I was a kid. I very rarely have them now. I don't dream as much, but I do have reoccurring. I don't know if they're reoccurring dreams because I don't know the way that I would define a reoccurring dream is like the story, the narrative of the dream repeats. Whereas I don't have that, but I have things like you said, very often a dream will be set in my childhood home, and I bet that's a pretty normal one for people.
Yeah, I get that often too.
I don't smoke cigarettes anymore or smoke weed anymore. But in my dreams, I do. In my soul, I am still a cigarette and weed smoker. And the fact that I don't in my conscious life doesn't mean that I'm not still addicted to those things.
Right.
It's like, so that's not really reoccurring because the dream could be about anything, but I will stop for a cigarette break because I am smoking.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'm a smoker too, and I don't think I ever smoked in my dreams.
Oh, I smoke all the time in my dreams.
Because that might be your outlet at this point, since you're not smoking consciously, that your body's like, I'm going to have a dream cig.
I think it's just natural. I think, you know how they say, like, you never, certain things you never quit. You know, you never really quit from.
Right.
Like for people who are alcoholics.
You're always an alcoholic. Right, you might be in recovery, but you're an alcoholic.
Right. I feel like it's like that. Like, in my mind, I am a smoker.
Yeah.
And you know, I always say, like, I'm one shitty day away from smoking again. I do have, since I don't smoke weed anymore, I do have a recurring dream of me trying to find weed. You know, looking at through my sleep phone for numbers,
right,
trying to find a dealer, trying to, you know, like, anyone who's ever done any drug knows the sort of the rigmarole of trying to procure the drug,
right?
And you know, drug dealers are the only retailers in the world that treat their customers like total shit because because they can.
Right.
You know, they could just be like, hey, I'm not going to text you back for 3 hours. And
right. I'll be there when I'm there.
Right. So, but I still have dreams where I'm looking for it, and I've got that anxiety. If I got to find it, I just need to have the bag in my hand. That feeling, that high you get before the high. And then I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh wait, I don't smoke anymore.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking when you said it, like that's a manifestation of anxiety. Like, there's this thing that I need and I can't get it for whatever reason. Like, that's the way your subconscious is manifesting it, is like this drug dealing scenario or whatever. For me, I'm often in a house that's like haunted, or like there's something in the house trying to get me, whether it's supernatural or it's another human or whatever, and I can't get out of the house. Like when I try to move the doors, they won't move.
Oh, wow.
Or yeah. And that happens a lot. And it's incredibly uneasy to spend most of your night running.
Right. Do you just run from room to room? How do those dreams end? Do you get caught?
I know. Most of the time it's just that I wake up. Like, it just, you know, there's no resolution or anything. Right. And when I remember them, they're in bits and pieces and they're all over the place. But, you know, there's often people from my life in the house or outside the house, and I'm trying to get to them and I can't. And, you know, it's all like, yes, I can think of some very clear metaphors for that. And, right. You know,
right.
But it's, you know, it takes a physical toll when you're up, you know, in your dreams. My psyche, my spirit, whatever, it was running all night.
Right. Right.
You know, and I definitely wake up from nights like that feeling, you know,
you didn't sleep at all.
Yeah, I tell my husband when I have dreams like that I have a dream hangover when I wake up in the morning, because I will wake up cranky or angry or whatever because of what happened in my dream. And yes, of course, I know the dream is not real,
right?
But I still experienced that thing. My emotional state was altered by that. Like, I went through that thing, even though I was asleep.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't real, my psyche went through that.
Right.
And so
right,
now waking up in this world where this thing hasn't happened and I have to continue my life, it's a feeling I describe as the dream hangover, because there's nothing else I could use to describe it, but it's a very real feeling, unlike anything else.
Right. Right. You wake up and it's like, I need a rest from working all night.
Yep.
Yeah. It's such a, sometimes I dream that I can't like find my girlfriend or something like that.
Oh.
And then I'll be like, listen, I think it's kind of rude that I couldn't find you last night. Yeah. And I feel like you owe me an apology. And she'll be like, well, that wasn't really me.
Right. That was you.
I've had this talk before.
Yeah. That was just your own consciousness running.
Right.
From you.
I'm not going to apologize for what dreamy does. And I'm like, well, I feel like you should.
Another recurring one that I have that probably leaves me with the worst dream hangovers. It leaves me like when I wake up, it's always like a bad depression day after I have one of these dreams, where I'm just trying to get somebody to like notice me or talk to me or take interest in me. And it's usually like one specific person. And there's all these different scenarios where I'm just trying to get their attention. And it's like, they don't see me at all.
Wow.
And waking up from that dream always puts me in a fucking hole. So every time.
How do you interpret that? What do you think your psyche is telling you? Or if you want to be woo woo about it, what do you think the universe is telling you? Because that's a very specific.
I think it's a want. Need for connection, which I know that I have in my conscious waking life, that I you know, I seek connection. That's one of my driving forces in life, is I like to connect with people, whether they're like-minded or not. I like connecting with and communicating with people. And sometimes I think I'm trying to get the attention of people who don't want to hear it, or, you know, or maybe aren't the right person for me to be seeking attention from or whatever. And I think perhaps that's how it manifests in my dreams.
In these dreams, are these people whose attention you're trying to get, are they real people that you know? Or
sometimes they're people I recognize. they say, you know, that there you don't invent faces, that every face that you've seen in a dream is a face that you've seen in your waking life.
Right, right, right.
So I'm sure some of the faces I don't recognize are people that I've known in some stage of my life, or maybe even just when I pass on the sidewalk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, there are times when it is a person that I know in my waking life, and that fucks me up even more, because then I wake up and I'm like, am I supposed to reach out to this person? Right. Or let me ask you, do you have like a stage of life that a lot of your dreams take place in, or are your dreams like in the present?
That is a great fucking question. Yeah, early childhood.
Yeah.
Often I'm in my childhood apartment, and my childhood, by no fault of my family, was very sort of melancholy, because I had depression from just as a child. I had depression.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also didn't have the wherewithal to understand that I was depressed or know how to be proactive about it. So I wasn't very social. I have dreams where I'm like literally stuck in my childhood home. And I'm a child. Sometimes I have dreams where I'm an adult and somehow I'm stuck in my childhood home.
Yeah.
For some legal sitcom reason, I must live there and I can't get out of it. I can't leave it. Often as a little kid, I don't know. I think there's a certain helplessness about being a child.
Mm-hmm.
Or I remember feeling helpless. That somehow still, I don't know, grabs me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And especially, you know, in your dream state, you are helpless. So it makes sense that your brain would kind of, you know, bring you back to that place. For me, it's often like my young teen or like junior high school years. I'm usually around that age. A lot of the characters in my dreams are people from that time in my life.
Do you think that that's like who you really are? Like, am I really a child inside?
I think that there's something to all of that. I think that maybe that's a, you know, where something big occurred or something that we have to look back at and heal or something. Like, I think there's a reason that our subconscious so often is like, hey, go back here. Hey, go back here. Hey, look at this. Go back to your old house. Go back to your old friends. Whatever, just to look at it, you know. And that's what I try to do once I wake, and I bring whatever, you know, has happened while I was asleep into my consciousness.
Yeah.
I try to think of like, okay, so is there anything that I can learn from that? How is that making me feel? If there were certain people involved in the dream. You know, how did it feel to see their face, or do I want to speak to this person or whatever?
Right.
Just try to bring it into consciousness too.
Interesting. I don't know if I sometimes feel like work itself, sleeping itself is the work, or dreaming itself is the work. Like if I have a week where every night I have a similar dream, I'd be like, well, I'm going through something. Something's working its way out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily bring that into my waking life and try to do anything, but I do. Sometimes I feel like it's pretty clear that your brain is just processing something.
Yeah.
I mean, especially like if it's something, you know, if you get your heart broken and, you know, or you lose somebody, you know, it's pretty common to have dreams where people that you care about who died are not dead.
Right.
Sometimes in weird ways, like I have dreams where a close friend of mine will be like, I faked my death. I didn't really die. And you're the only one who knows. And I'd be like,
yep.
I'd be like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. How could you have died? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. It's just because my brain can't process that they're actually dead.
Right.
But I'm sure that's fairly normal.
I think so. I would say that's probably common.
Do you ever like nightmares? Like when I was a kid, I had good old fashioned spooky nightmares with Frankensteins and Dracula.
Yeah. Yeah, and when I was a kid, Kroger.
But now, like, my nightmares are, oh, I'll never be a homeowner.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's so crazy.
That I need, or I don't have the money to buy, you know, something I need. You know, like, it's all.
It's so crazy how our nightmares evolve like that, because I could remember my dreams as a kid, you know, I was being chased by a witch doctor, and like, and now I have dreams like, oh my God, I checked my bank account balance and it was negative $30,000.
Oh my God. I just got a cold sweat when you said that.
Ugh. Yeah, that's a nightmare.
It is crazy how it grows up with you. I would love a dream where it's just a Dracula and he's like, I'm going to suck your blood. I'd be delighted by that.
Right. I'd love a good old fashioned nightmare.
Right. But now, like, Dracula comes in and he's like, Mike, I'm sorry. I can't forgive these student loans. You're just going to have to. They're like, why does Dracula work for the loan company?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I also have dreams that I don't know if I call nightmares, but they're like stress dreams. Mm. Like, kind of similar to what you were talking about. Like, I have dreams where I'm being chased and I'm not stuck in a place, but like I'll run into places and out of places. It's almost like the movie It Follows. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a person or a force, or sometimes it's like the police or something, and they're chasing me and I can't get away from them. And I'll wake up just like vibrating, like, you know, and, you know, it's crazy because you do have that moment where you relax and realize the nonsense of your dream isn't real. You know, like, sometimes those dreams become violent for me and I'll like fight back and I'll like kill whoever's chasing me. Right. And then I'll feel bad that I've killed somebody. And then I'll wake up and be like, oh, thank God I didn't kill somebody.
Wow, I didn't actually murder someone. Fantastic.
Right.
My day is going to be so much easier than I thought it would.
Right. I also have, in general, I have a thing about making irreparable mistakes, because I have in my actual life, mistakes that I've made that I worry are irreparable or that I can't forgive myself for and stuff. So like sometimes I have, you know, like I'll have a dream where like I'll in my car accidentally like hit a kid with my car and the kid passes away, you know, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, thank God that didn't happen, because if I did accidentally kill a kid, I don't know how I would survive in real life. Like, what would I do? Like, you know, like shit like that.
Yep. All the scariest possible things.
Right. Yeah. You know, I have these dreams about like, even like with like weed, like I've been sober for like 6 years. I've lost count, but it's like 6 or almost 7 years. Mm-hmm. So I'll have a dream that I smoke and then I'll feel bad in my dream that I broke my sobriety after years of it. And now I'm down to like 0 days sober. And then I'll wake up and be like, oh, I didn't break it. Oh, okay. And it's like, I'm relieved, but it's also like, it's weird that my fears are making mistakes that I'm afraid I can't go back from.
Right. And I guess maybe it could be seen as a good psychological exercise that you get that out in your sleep, in your dream state. And then you get to wake up and know like, oh shit, I didn't fuck up. But wow, it felt bad when I did. So I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Do you ever have sex dreams still, or love dreams?
Not often. I actually did recently for the first time in God, I don't even know how long. I don't know if that's like a, I don't know. I don't know if it's an age thing or what, but right. I don't really anymore.
Right.
And it's not that I don't have a libido anymore.
Okay.
And I guess it just doesn't go there anymore.
Well, my libido is pretty low. Part of it's my age, part of it's the medicine I take. I wish I had the strong libido that I had when I was younger. But I'll once in a while have a sex dream, but it's never like, it's always like going to have sex. It's never like I'm actually having sex. You know, never in my life did I ever have a genuine wet dream, like where you actually come in your dream. Like, that always seemed like, I've heard of people talk about that, and that's always seemed like wild to me. Like, I always wished I could have had that. Right. Like, oh, like, cause you know, you have a dream where you're like having sex with like somebody way out of your league, like a celebrity. And it's like, I'd hear guys be like, yeah. And then I woke up and I had finished. And I'm like, wow, that's great. You basically got to fuck
without having to deal with any of
you got to have sex with that celebrity.
Right. Good for you.
I never had that. And now I'm not trying to be modest or cute or whatever, but like I'll have dreams where like I'll remember that I have a girlfriend and be like, I can't. I love my girlfriend. And then I'll wake up and be like, oh, I should have, because it wasn't real. Like, I wish, like, if only, like, you know, 1994 Cindy Crawford would say to me, hey, Mike, I'm 1994 Cindy Crawford. This is a dream. Don't worry. It's totally okay here. Then I'd be like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. Sometimes you need the reminder, like, hey, there are no real life consequences. Do your thing.
I know. So you lucid dream a lot.
I do.
Do you think that's just in your like, it's just how your brain works, or do you think there's anything particular that makes you do that more?
I think so. I also, in the way that I meditate and stuff, in you know, this is to the woo-woo side of me.
Sure.
I ask for my dreams to teach me. I ask for my dreams to help me heal and to reveal truths to me that I may not remember or whatever. I ask, not every night, but often I ask
for my dreams. And you think that works for you?
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I don't track it well enough, you know, to know, you know, the nights I ask versus the nights that I don't. But I do know that I certainly do a lot of healing through my dreams. I know that I do. I know that I revisit people and things in my dreams. And I believe in the energy of all things. And I believe that, you know, when you're sleeping, that energy is a bit more exposed.
Yeah.
And, you know, a bit more out there for whatever other energies to connect with it. And, you know, I don't believe in a man in the sky God. I believe in a universal energy God. And I believe that when I'm sleeping, my energy is closer to that collective, and that I'm,
right.
you know, more open to receiving messages from there and from different times and places, right. and, you know, whatever.
Wow. Does your daughter tell you about her dreams?
Not really. I'll ask her every now and then, you know, if she had any dreams or if she wants to tell me about them. I do have a cute little superstition that my grandmother always told us, and it just got kind of passed down, that you don't ever talk about a bad dream
really?
That you had before you have something to eat. You have to eat first, and then you can talk about your nightmare.
I've never heard
that. I don't know what the origin is or anything. Even
what would happen? The food would turn rotten?
I don't know.
Like, what would the what's the consequence of that?
The only thing that I can think of from like a woo-woo perspective, if maybe it comes from like an ancient thing, is eating like food that comes from the earth and stuff like that grounds you. So perhaps as a grounding exercise, like you to come out of the dream fully before you start feeding more so into the energy of the dream.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's what I would think. I don't know. And as far as I know, my grandma wasn't witchy or anything like that.
Right.
But, you know, who knows? Maybe her great grandmother was, and that's where she got it from, and it was passed down from there. But that's what I think I can attribute the reasoning to.
If you see a dead person in your dreams, do you count that as a genuine, you saw a ghost? Like, the ghost came to me in my dream? Because some people do.
No.
I saw a ghost. It was in my dream. And I'm like, well, I don't know
I think that seeing a ghost, quote unquote, happens when you're conscious.
Okay.
I think when I, you know, like I said, I believe in universal energy and all of that stuff. So I like to think of when I see somebody who has died in a dream, I like to think of it as a visit that, you know, at that point, their energy crossed mine whatever, you know, like it's a little visit, hello.
I guess that's maybe what I mean. So you do think that it might actually be
their energy.
Right. Not just something that you've made up.
Yeah, I do think that. I do, you know, and other days I might say that I don't, but right now,
sure.
I do think that, you know, those could be little visits and little subconscious minders. I think that they're not always necessarily that, that sometimes you're just, you know, seeing a face that you want to see and a face that you're thinking about, and that face lives in your memory. And so it comes out. But there have been things that happen in dreams and stuff like that that make them feel more like little visits to me than just a projection of my own psyche.
When I was a kid, I saw an episode of Fraggle Rock where the Fraggles slept with their heads touching and they were able to have the same dream, or like be in the same dream together. And I thought
about that.
That I could do that. So I tried to do it with my younger brother. It did not work.
That's so cute.
But we tried.
That's really adorable.
It was an effort.
I really hope that like technology gets to a point where we can monitor dreams and project them onto a screen and whatever. I think it would be really cool to be able to study dreams more in depth.
Yeah.
With more science and, you know.
Yeah.
Hard evidence.
I know you say that, like, you asked me about what age you are in your dreams. Mm-hmm. But how do you look in your dreams?
I don't usually see myself in dreams. I kind of dream in a first person.
Right. But I have a sense of myself. Mm. Like I shave my head. And I've shaved my head for like 6 years. No, actually longer than that. Because I'm kind of like balding, I have very thin hair. But anyway, in my dreams, I'm pretty sure I have hair.
Yeah, I think I have hair in my dreams too. But yeah. I mean, I haven't been bald as long as you have. But
Right.
Yeah, I think I kind of have a sense of how I look too, but I don't really know like my age or anything like that. Like I know the state, but I don't know what my body looks like. I know the age I am because of the people I'm surrounded by and stuff like that. Like I'm not very conscious of myself in the dream really.
Okay.
Or at least my physical dream self.
How often is your husband and kids in your dreams?
Not very, honestly. Okay. I often dream in other times, and you know,
dreams where you forget they exist, or dreams like you know that they're real.
I always know that they're real. Like I can always think of my children or my husband in my dreams. Okay. Like if I'm lucid dreaming, I can always kind of tell myself, like, you know, there's someone in this bed next to me. It's my husband. My kids are in the other room. You know, I think I'm always kind of aware of that. I don't think I really forget. But I think it's almost like time travel sometimes when I dream, that I'm really just going back to that place in my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Lately I've been, I have the Calm app. As you know, my credit card gave me the Calm app. And they've got sleep stories. And some of them are too narrative. Like I'm listening to them, so I'm not falling asleep. But some of them aren't. There's this one that I've listened to like every night for a week. And I honestly can't tell you a thing about it because it just works so well. I just fall asleep immediately. But it's like, let me look at it. It's like perfect. What is it called? Okay, it's called Halloween in Sleepy Haven.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, and like the narrative is like, okay, imagine it's the fall and there's crunchy leaves. And I'm just like, and it's just beautiful.
That's paradise.
It is. Do you, I know you like to have everything off, and so do I for the most part, but have you ever tried any of these things?
I have. Sometimes I will let myself like fall asleep to a meditation or something. I have a couple of apps that I use. I have one called Balance and another called Breathwork.
Okay.
Breathwork is more active, you know, because you're trying to practice these breathing patterns or whatever. But the Balance app is like almost like a meditation training app.
Yeah.
Oh. And they have some stuff to fall asleep to on there as well. And I'll use that every now and then. Oh. But I think I also, so I try to practice doing what's called dream work. And sometimes I will put on a meditation that's intended for me to do that. Okay. So have you ever heard of astral projection?
Yes.
Okay. So I try to do that sometimes.
Okay.
And when I do those kinds of things, you know, I'll put on headphones, I'll put on the meditation. And the idea that I repeat to myself is that my body is asleep, but my mind is awake. And I find that when I do those meditations, now I haven't had an experience like a lot of, you know, what I'll see people describe on YouTube with sitting up out of their own body. And so I don't have that. But when I do those meditations, I find that I often end up dreaming in the same place. It's this house that I don't fully recognize, but I always go there.
Wow.
With those meditations.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like a big creepy old house. And
I like to fly in my dreams when I can. It's not the same thing.
But
when I do have a somewhat lucid dream and I realize I'm in a dream, I like to fly or bounce. Somehow bouncing is easier for my brain to bounce.
Right.
Just like get real high and then bounce down. But I do enjoy that. Like
I don't recall ever flying in a dream.
It's as like nice as it sounds, honestly. But it doesn't. I mean, I could say maybe it happens once a year or something.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. I don't think I've ever flown.
Baby, you gotta fly.
I've flown a plane in my dreams, like I've been a pilot.
That's okay. That's okay. okay, one last question before we wrap this up. You are a painter and artist.
Yeah.
Do you ever get creative ideas from dreams? You ever wake up with an image from a dream and say, I must paint this?
Yes. And I have tried to start committing those ideas to paper, because for the longest time I would wake up in the middle of the night and be like, I'm going to remember this. How could I forget this? It was so beautiful and so right. perfect. And I'm going to remember. And then I would, you know, really wake up in the morning and be like, no fucking clue what that was.
Right.
So I've started keeping a pad and a pen next to my bed because I don't want to grab my phone because I don't want that blue light.
Right.
So I've started to keep a pad and a pen next to my bed so that I can also sketch an idea if I have it, so that I'm not just limited to words. And I can draw a little picture that might remind me of something, which I think sometimes is easier for me because I'm trying to hold on to my sleep as much as I can while still committing this to paper.
Right. It's sort of an impossible task because sometimes it's really what you feel, or it's like a tone that you can't, it's an aesthetic, not aesthetic, it's a vibe that you can't describe. Like I've so often, like, I'm not an artist in that visual way, but I've so often like woken up and thought, oh, that would be a great short film. And yeah. then like, as the day goes on, like I'll remember the details, but whatever it was like really about is gone. Whatever yeah. it felt like is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard when you're consciously trying to recapture the feeling of a dream.
Right.
Because time is different and the way things look and feel is just different. And it's very hard. And there are filmmakers and artists that capture the dream state really well.
David Lynch.
Yep. But, you know, it's very difficult to do. And
yeah, it's hard.
You know, some people dream very vivid. Some people dream in muted tones. Like it's very hard to show somebody else what you dream.
Yes, it's very hard. It's kind of impossible.
Yeah.
But worth trying.
It's a very interesting thing that I've experienced lately is I get almost like a deja vu feeling throughout the day sometimes, where I'll just remember a place that I was in a dream or something like that. Like all of a sudden, if it was a film, it would just be like a quick cut scene to, you know, being on this beach or whatever. And then you just go right back.
Yeah,
my brain will do that with dreams now, where I'll just all of a sudden remember a place or something like that I don't know that I've been in my waking life, but oh shit, I must have dreamed that, or oh, now I remember dreaming that.
Yeah, yeah.
Bizarre.
Yes, it is.
Brains, man.
Weird.
Weird.
This has been Cuckoo Bananas. I'm Mike Bongiorno. My partner in crime is Kate Ganey.
Hey, hey.
Thank you for listening to us. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and suggest us to your friends and loved ones. Tell them, hey, do you want a safe space? Because I know one.
I know a place.
Yes. you could follow us on the Instagram at Cuckoo Bananas Pod. We've got a few more episodes left of season two. But hey, go if you're new to the show, listen to everything we've done before. Let's go back and listen to season one.
Hang out with us for a little while.
Come on.
We're pretty all right. Accessible
too. I mean, you could probably just like write to us on Instagram and we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
We're pretty accessible.
Yeah.
But like really write to us. Don't like friend us and then be like, hey, I've got an opportunity for blah, 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 blah.
No, let us be here for you.
Yeah, I don't want your bullshit. I don't want your fucking schemes.
Yeah, no, I don't need you to help me gain followers on Instagram.
Yeah, I don't want
to growing organically.
Followers. Yeah. God, darn it. Okay. See you next time, Kate.
See ya.